Well, good morning again. What a joy it is to be in God's house. And what a joy it is to be alive. And you know what? I would rather be here in God's house than to be in the finest hospital in Jackson County, Illinois. And I think we only got two good hospitals, don't we, in all of Jackson County? Carbondale and Murfreesboro. Yeah. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 1 through 10. And when you get there, I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. Today I'm preaching about my greatest passion. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I testify about them that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes that the man who practices the righteousness which is based on law shall live by that righteousness. But the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? Or who will descend into the abyss? But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful for the reading of your word. And God, this is always powerful verses that we read. God, today I pray that our lives will be transformed. Father, give us the zeal and the joy. When we first got saved, we were on fire. We had a passion to tell others about Jesus. And Father, sometimes along the way, when life has gotten hard, it's knocked us down. And sometimes, Father, some of us have never come back. Well, Lord, today, let us stand up and boldly proclaim that we are your children, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and that we will live with a passion to tell others so that souls may be saved. And now, Father, as I preach this word, let everything come from you, dear God, and nothing from my thoughts or my own words. And God, we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. Before I actually get into the message this morning, we have this holy book. This is God's Word. From Genesis to Revelations, it is the most powerful book you will ever read. It's the one book that will change the very person that you are. It will change you from somebody who once feared and who once doubted, and it will change you into a soul-winning, on-fire person for God. And one thing about this word, it's very important that we get into this word daily and that we not only read it, but we study God's word. And I also want to say this too. It's very important, I believe, that we bring our Bibles to church with us. Because, you know, I've even thought about this. We often put the scripture in here and people will kind of read off of that. But you know what's most important? It's important that we bring our Bible. Because when we bring our Bibles to church, it shows that we truly love the Lord and that we care about His Word. So I want to encourage you, every Sunday. If you have a Bible at home, bring it with you. And please don't depend on what's in the bulletin, because you know what? Sometimes it may not be there. I just may ask Laura sometime, let's not print it. And because I want to encourage everybody to please start bringing a Bible with you to church. And I also want to encourage you to get in it every day and every chance that you can and read it and draw from what God wants you to see. Now let's get on into the Word. We're looking at the life of Paul. And you know, before he became Paul, his name was Saul. And Saul was the kind of man, Saul hated Christian people. He did not like Christians at all. He killed Christians. He persecuted them. He hated God because his heart was filled with darkness. He did not know the love and the light and the righteousness of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And if you think back to your life before you got saved, I want you to think of the place that you were at in your life for just a moment. You didn't know God. A lot of you probably didn't even go to church at that time. And I can tell you, I went to church for a lot of years because my parents made me go. And I'm very thankful that I had parents that made sure I got on the church van or the church bus, whether it be Sunday morning or Wednesday night. And we heard week after week about the love of the Lord. And I loved the Lord, but I truly didn't know Him as my personal Lord and Savior. But when I got on into high school, I started to drift away from church. I drifted away from God, and I really didn't care to know any more about Him. I was becoming what I would call my own person. I wanted to seek out things in life, and I had other desires, I had other passions, other things that I was concerned with. And all that time, I didn't realize what calling God had on my life. So at the age of 19, I had been living in sin. I didn't have, you know, you probably hear testimonies on TV about these people who say they got into drugs or they got into a life of crime or they did this or that or they were the meanest person in the world and then God miraculously turned their life around. I don't have that kind of testimony. All I can tell you is I was not serving God and I didn't care about God. And I really didn't like people that much. That's all my life was about. My life was centered on Jim Cooper, and that was it. I didn't care about anybody else if they were sick or in need or whatever. I didn't even care about sitting in church. I got up Sunday morning, I slept in, and I didn't even care about the Lord. But I remember one Saturday night, I had some friends invited me to go to a special church service for people my age, about 19, and I went. I said, okay, you know, they hounded me week after week. So finally I thought, fine, just if it'll shut them up, I'm going to go. So I went, and I sat there, and I really listened to the message that evening that the preacher preached, and it really had an impact on my heart and my life. And right after service was over, I thought, well, you know what? I'm supposed to go to a party tonight, and I'm going to go hang out with my friends now. I'm going to go hang out with all my cowboy buddies, and we're just going to go do whatever. And I got in my car, and my friends who had been after me, they came up to my car, and they said, where are you going? I said, well, I'm going to go to a party now. I said, I told you I'd come. I came. I'm going to go party. Let's just leave me alone. That's all I want you to do is leave me alone. One thing I noticed, a friend of mine sat down on the ground and he put his legs under the front tire of my car. And I had started my car and it was running. And I look out the window, I said, what are you doing? He said, hey. He said, I love you enough. He said, that I'm gonna sacrifice myself because I love you. He said, I want to see you come to Jesus Christ and accept Him as Lord. He said, you know what? You can put your car in reverse and you can leave, but when you do, he said, you're going to run over me But he said, I'm doing this because I love you. I'm concerned for you. Right there, I just broke down and started crying. I had so much anguish and hate in my heart that I couldn't carry that load anymore. God had been dealing with my life. I knew God had been after me, and I kept running, and I kept running. And finally, the night was there that God got a hold of my life. So we went into the prayer chapel, and I knelt down at this little altar-like that they had built all around this room. And right up above, there was a cross. I don't know if we have a cross hanging up. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. And actually, golly, boy, you'd think as long as I've been here, I'd know that cross. So there was a cross just about like that. It lit up in the back, and it was hanging on the wall. And I knelt on my knees that night, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And my life did a 360. I mean, complete turnaround from what I was. I became a person who shied away from people to becoming a person who was on fire for the Lord. And then God started to deal with my life, you know, about getting into ministry. And I've never preached. I didn't know what to do. And I just had to trust God with that area of my life. 35 years later, here I am, 55 years old, and I'm still preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And why? Because there's been a passion that has burned inside of my, I'm not going to say my heart, but inside my soul. Because Jesus saved my soul from the penalty of my sin. He washed me clean. So from that day, I've had a different desire, a desire to live for the Lord. Now, if you look at Paul, at Saul's life, here he was, a murderous person. He's on the road to Damascus, and he has this encounter with God. And God basically comes to him and says, Saul, why do you persecute against me? Why do you hate me so bad? And Saul had such an overwhelming presence of God's love that he fell down. And you've probably read it in the Bible that Saul, he was converted. He believed on the Lord and he trusted God, and salvation came into his life that day. Saul was renamed Paul, and the Apostle Paul became one of the greatest writers of the New Testament in our Bibles. And I want to tell you that when God changed Paul's life completely the way he did, Paul said in the first verse, he said, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. What was Paul's desire? He wanted to see people to come to Christ. Now, when you and I first got saved and we became Christian people, we had a desire at one time. I have seen people get on fire for the Lord when they first got saved. And you know what they're going to do? They're going to go out and they're going to save the entire world. They're going to go perform miracles. Man, they start shouting all the things they're going to do from the mountaintop. And then when they realize that life is still not going to be a rosy pathway for them, you know what happens? They start to weaken. And they start to lose their faith and their hope in God. And they don't pursue their relationship with the Lord. And they soon depend. Well, let me back up a little. They depend on their own self. And too many times that's what we do. We depend on self instead of depending upon God, and the desire that we first had starts to dwindle. And then you know what happens after time? People's relationships with the Lord, they start to slowly die. Have you ever watched a candle burn? And a candle will burn all the way down. And when the candle finally gets down to the end of the wick, what happens? The flame goes out, and then there's nothing left. There's no life in that candle anymore. And the same thing happens in the lives of Christian people. That boy, that wick got lit, but soon their spiritual oil ran out. And that flame that was once burning inside of their heart dwindled down. And once that spiritual oil dried up and they quit depending upon God for what they needed, the flame died, and then you don't see them sitting in church anymore. But it generally starts to happen that they'll miss church every so often. And then they'll start to miss church. They'll come to church, you might see them once a month, and then before long they might come every few months, and then the next thing you know, people never darken the doorways of a church again. Because people have trusted in their self instead of trusting in the Lord. Now, Paul said, it's my heart's desire. Paul did not say, it's my heart's several desire. Paul loved people. It's amazing to me. He hated Christians, and now he is a Christian, and he's going after the lost. Paul's greatest desire was to serve God with his whole heart. And nothing more. He wanted to tell people about Jesus. And I'm telling you this. Paul was persecuted. Paul was arrested. Paul was beaten. Paul was locked up. And every time that Paul faced some kind of accusation or some kind of torment, whatever it was, Paul still trusted in the Lord God, and he never let his faith wane one time during his walk. He has one desire. It's basically his consuming passion. So see, when you became a Christian, you can't trust in yourself. You can't trust in somebody else. I can't trust in Effie to keep me joyful and happy. Because she's a human being just like I am. She has struggles just like I have struggles. And I can't trust, you know, in Corrine to pray for. I mean, I know she prays for me, but I can't trust her, you know, to make my life what it needs to be. I've got to trust God. I have to get myself before the Lord. And I have to say, Father, these are the things before me. And God, this is the path that you've called me to walk. So Lord, I lay down every burden. I cast aside everything that the devil's thrown in my life. And Lord, I ask you to take care of it all. But Lord, I ask you most of all to give me the faith and the courage and the power to be the best witness that I could be for you. If we had Christian people in the church today who were committed to witnessing for Christ, imagine how full our churches would be. I've listened to people say, I wish we could have revival. I wish that people would get joyful again. I wish that people would come to church and just sing to God and worship. Well, you could have that if you give your heart and make Him your desire. But you know what happens? We get our minds flooded and filled with what's going on in the world today, and it robs and steals us of our joy. When we get to come to God's house on Sunday morning, I'm excited to come to God's house. I don't know about anybody else. I can't speak for anybody else. But as I'm driving to church, I'm in the truck, and I'm driving, and I'm praying, and I'm listening to Christian music, and I'm excited when I get to come in and shake hands or give a hug or say hello and see the smiles on people's faces, because I know that the joy of the Lord is at work in their life. And we should not take advantage of what God's given to us. When we come into this house, we should be coming in here with our hearts already prepared to worship and praise Him and to receive what He has for us. Paul also said, brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God He said that his prayer to God was that we all have a desire that we go to God. And why should we go to God? Because God fulfills every desire. God fulfills every need. He supplies all of our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, there's nothing in your life that God can't take care of. As I was driving through Marion this morning coming here, Farmer State Bank on Highway 13, I saw the neatest thing. It said, with God. And I thought, oh, I'm going to slow down here. I want to see the next part of that sign come up. It said, with God, nothing is impossible. And I thought, wow. I thought, thank you, God, that Farmer State Bank is not afraid to put a positive message on their board, that they're willing to post something from your word. See, with God, all things are possible. It doesn't matter what you face. I was telling Miriam, I was telling Miriam this morning, the reason I never visited Germany when I was younger, I was afraid of flying. I was. I never wanted to become shark bait or whale food. I was always afraid of the plane, you know, landing in the ocean and me getting swallowed by a big shark or something. I don't know why those things get into our heads. I know that the devil wants to put the fear there. And see, that's what happens. The devil puts the fear within our mind, and then we feed on that fear, and it cripples us to the point that we don't serve God. The devil wants to stop you at all cost. The devil wants to stop me at all cost from spreading the good news that Jesus still saves. So if he can put the fear out there, if he can get me to bite onto that lure and he can reel me in, he's got me. And so for a lot of years I spent in that fear, I wouldn't fly. I had a friend of mine who was a pilot, and he had this little, four-seater plane. He says, you got to come fly with me sometime. I said, no, thank you. He says, well, why won't you come and fly? And I've always made this a joke. I says, because I believe what the Bible says. He goes, huh? I said, the Bible says, lo, I'll be with you always. So I would never fly. But one day, they was doing helicopter rides. And I had my friends were after me. They said, hey, you got to go fly with us. Ah, okay, fine. I'm going to man up. As we'd say in the cowboy world, cowboy up. And I got on that thing. And you know what they done to me? They stuck me in the front seat with that pilot, and there was no doors. It was this big plexiglass-like front or glass all the way around. It was one of them big Apaches or Cherokee helicopters. And the pilot's over here, and he looked at me. He says, you got your belt fastened? Oh, yes, sir. I had that belt so tight it was cutting off my blood circulation. And I was holding on to whatever I could hold on to. And I thought, man, this is it. There ain't no turning back. We're going to go full throttle here in a minute. And that pilot took off in that helicopter. We got high up in the air. You know what he done to me? He banked that thing to the far left right where I was sitting. And I thought I was going to roll out of that helicopter. I turned Pentecostal. I was speaking in tongues already up there. And then he brought that helicopter back up straight. And I was like, thank you, Jesus. And he took it and we went higher and higher. Well, we went to the highest altitude that a helicopter is allowed to fly at. And we flew all around the edge of Marion and through town. Came back out, and I was doing this. I was like, wow, man, this is exciting. What have I been missing all these years? This is great. And then he come back, and we start to descend, and he's coming back to land. I said, is it over already? He goes, you want to go up again? I said, well, yeah. He goes, well, you have to give me another $20. He says, I said, well, let's do it. He says, well, there's other people in line. He says, come back later and I'll take you up again. And a little later on, that afternoon, I went back over. He was still there. We got in. He didn't charge me. And we went right back up and went for another flight. So I was telling Miriam, I said, I'm not afraid to fly. I think now it's time for me to fly over the ocean. So we're going to do it. And I say that because when we trust in our fear, it holds us back. And if we hold back in fear, I told you this last Sunday, a lot of Christians don't want to tell others about Jesus because they're afraid of what they're going to be labeled. People might label us weird or freaky or nerd or backward or whatever because, see, people who live in sin, they don't understand what we have. They have not seen the righteousness and the love of the Lord. Now, when Paul got converted, when Saul got converted and he became a Christian, he understood what Christ's love was all about. It changed him from the inside out, and it's a journey that was exciting to him, and he trusted God every day with his life. He trusted God with every situation. When Paul and Silas were in jail, what did they start doing? Did they gripe and complain? No. Since God was their passion and their desire, and that's what their life was about, Paul and Silas are in the jail, and at the midnight hour, they're in this dark prison, and I guarantee you there was rats, mice, roaches, all kinds of nasty bugs. They weren't the cleanest jails back in those days. They sure weren't no Marriott by Hilton type of hotel room. I mean, we're talking old rock prison, dirty, stinky, filthy, diseased, yuck. And here's these two guys locked up in chains and stocks. You would have thought they would have been griping and complaining about the situation that they're in, but not Paul and Silas. At the midnight hour, they start singing praises to God. And when they start singing praises to God, the jailhouse started to shake. And the stocks and the chains had broken free, and God had loosened them, and the doors to the prison opened up, and all the prisoners come out, and the fearful guard drew his sword, was going to take his own life. And Paul and Silas said, wait, don't do that. And they started to share with him about Jesus. So Paul and Silas went to the house of this jailer, and the jailer and his entire household came to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. See, if we let our situation control us, then we'll never be the effective witness that God wants us to be. We have got to keep God as our heart's desire. We have to have a consuming passion to know God on a deeper personal level every day. I don't know why people don't like reading the Bible, or people say they don't understand it. Well, here I got a quick solution for you. When you don't understand what's in this word, here's what you do. I do this. I say, Father, I'm about to read your word. And God, if there's something I don't understand, then Lord, let me see through the Holy Spirit what your word means. Give me wisdom, give me understanding, and give me knowledge about what your word's saying. I want to feed on it. I want to grow on this word so that I could be the strongest and the best nurtured Christian that I could be. I want to be an effective witness, but I want to know all about your son Jesus because of what he did for me on the cross. Because if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here in this pulpit right now. And I sure wouldn't have this holy word in my hand telling you what God's done for me. But when I read this word, I tell you what, I start to understand. And God opens my eyes, and God shows me things. And I'm actually glad that I got me a study Bible now, because I'll tell you what, the little footnotes at the bottom, really, I mean, there's some good explanations there. But when I get done reading the Word of the Lord, I feel like that I've been, I know I've been fed. I don't feel it. I feel, I know that I've been fed. I know that I've been strengthened. And I know that God has something more for me to do. And the more I know about God, the deeper I fall in love with Him. The crazier I am to live for Him and to tell others about Jesus. And Paul, lastly, he had a purpose. Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." And Psalm 126:6 says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." So when we look at this today, we see that Paul had a passion. He had a desire. He had an interest. His heart was in the game of winning souls for Jesus Christ. You know, there are so many people today who have passions and desires for other things. And what do you see out of them? Now, yesterday, my friend Randy and I went out to check on the cows, the cattle, and the bulls, and the babies, they're all calving now. And there's little baby Black Angus cows out there. And Randy's got this passion. He cares so much for his cattle. He makes sure that they're okay. He goes out daily and checks on them. He makes sure that... And yesterday we were out riding, and we saw a baby laying there on its side, and it wasn't moving. And his eyes caught that. I didn't see it at first. He said, "Let's go over here to the left and look at that calf. It's not moving." So we took our horses and we went over to the left. And there, and I said, "Oh, Randy, look, it's moving." He said, "That's good. That's good." And when we got closer to it, it raised its little head up. But see, he's got this passion and desire because he wants the cattle business to succeed. I mean, that's how the man makes his living. That's how he has his money coming in. So watching somebody have that kind of passion made me think about this sermon today. Okay, I need to have my eyes open. What's going on around me? I need to look and see who's lost and dying in their sin, who doesn't know Jesus. And I need to have my eyes open and attentive and aware of what's going on around me, because when God puts somebody in my path and God says, "That person right there is who I want you to talk to," just like we rode up to that calf to check on it, I need to go to that person and I need to ask them, talk to them, and ask them if they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And if they don't, I know that God will give me the opportunity to witness and share with them the love that He has that will change their life. That's what you and I are supposed to be doing as Christians. We need to come to church on Sunday and get filled up. And I want to say this too. Please don't depend on people to build you up. They're going to let you down. Too many times I think we put our attention on the preacher, we put our attention on the deacons, and we expect them to, bam, just do this for our life and make things better. It ain't going to happen, honey, I'll tell you that. You know what happens? We got to take it to the Lord. The Lord's the one who knows every need that we have, and God's the only one who can meet that need. He is the only one who can enrich our lives and give us the filling. He indwells within us. He can do more for you than I can. Now, if you need prayer, if you need somebody to talk to, I'm here. But you gotta call me, you gotta let me know what's going on, or I don't know. But God knows everything. And we have to make it our passion and our desire today to live for Him.